Thank you, brother Tick.
Not on that. I needed that today to center me. Hi, everyone. I'm Pastor Jonathan. It's good to be with you. Last night, if you were around, we had trunk or treat here on campus, and it was so much fun. We had an absolute blast. Thank you to everyone who came out, who decorated trunks, who came in costume, who donated candy, and to all of our children's teams, to Jessica and Rebecca, who pulled it all together. We had so much joy. We met many from our community. Everything was going well until the Jurassic Park T-Rexes got loose and attacked the bounce house later on. In all of that, it was an amazing, amazing night. It is Halloween week, everyone, which is a magical and wonderful time of play and imagination with a little bit of spookiness in there, but just a little bit, because there's enough spookiness and real world worries in our life already, right? Because it's not just Halloween week, it's also the week before a week from Tuesday as well, too, right? There's plenty of worry to go around. But even on a normal week, there's like worries aplenty around. There's money, there's relationship, there's work, there's school, there's the state of the world, there's the state of our state football teams to worry about, right? There's healthcare and hurricanes and homework and homecoming and home owning and sharks and sharknadoes and lions and tigers and bears, right? I could just list off worries for the next 20 minutes and this would be the worst sermon ever. So we all kind of know that we're there, right? So there are things that send our hearts racing and our blood pressure up as worry does that thing when it wanders up our back and into our amygdala, where it becomes part of that natural evolutionary nervous system that was there for important reasons, to trigger adrenaline when there might be a lion lurking in the grass nearby. That can be helpful to us. But now it spikes when there might be an email lurking in our inbox, which is less helpful for us. We have worries in this life. We have genuine, real lying in the grass worries. We have real anxieties. And I'm thankful that we live in a time when we recognize the valuable help of people like counselors and therapists and psychiatrists as a gift and a grace. And there are great resources out there and available to help us. And Pastors Kathy and Jenny and I can help connect you with some of those if that's helpful for you. But even with all that we're carrying today, as we rest in that, I want us to take heart, because you were created by a God who loves you and is with you, who upholds you, who sings over you, and who wants to help you find peace and freedom and life and to cultivate that seed of non-fear in the midst of it all. Today, as you came in, you may have noticed a post-it note in the seat with you. You can look around, you may see one there. If you have something today that you're carrying with you, a worry or a fear, if you want to, during the service today, you can jot it down. You can flip it over to the back if you need to list more. Later, we'll have an opportunity, I'll tell you about that, to share those, to open our hands and to share those with God, because God is with you in the midst of all of it. And we also have this witness of a Jesus who gets it, who's with us in it too. As Jesus prepared himself to be arrested, to go to the cross out of love for humanity, the story says that he prayed with such anguish that his sweat became like drops of blood. He's been through those long nights, grieving with us on our long nights. Jesus doesn't dismiss or discount our worries, but instead, in the midst of it, offers us a way to face them that's rooted in the truth that you are a beloved child of God, deeply loved. That the deepest forces in the universe are at work in you, for good and for flourishing, for you and for all things. And so on those nights when life seems deep, God's love is even deeper. Jesus lays out this way of approaching worry and fear in this conversation with curious folks that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins that sermon with the Beatitudes. You may have heard those before. These blessings that affirm God's love for us
especially when we feel weary or lost or unloved, Jesus always begins with God's deep love for each of us. And from that place begins to grow a vision of life that's grounded in God's love and empowers us to act and respond in love as well. And so, as Jesus is teaching, at the pinnacle of that, Jesus talks in this practical and helpful way about worry, knowing that we as humanity need help with that. There's a lot that we need help with that with, but worry is one of the things. And he says something that's profound, but also challenging, so much that we still wrestle with it today. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus says, you are so loved, so do not worry. And in that moment, there's like a record scratch, just like there is in this room today. And everybody listening is like, Jesus, what? Like, trying not to worry just makes me more worried. How, you know, there's so much to do. There's so much to fix. We can't just Hakuna Matata all this stuff away, Jesus. All right? But Jesus isn't saying that these things aren't important or that we don't need them, that we shouldn't work or plan or be diligent. In fact, he'll later say that these things are important, that we need them, and that God knows that. What he's saying is that we don't need to worry about them. He asks this, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life?" Has worry added to your life? I'm pretty sure it's taken a few days off of mine along the way, right? Instead of adding to relationships, it's diminished them. Instead of adding a sense of peace and confidence to my life, it's added a sense of insecurity when I go in that direction, to my home and to my workplace. Refreshing my 401k over and over and over and over hasn't added anything yet to it. I'll keep trying, right? So maybe Jesus has a point in all of this. Maybe, I guess. Worry hasn't added or changed anything. In fact, sometimes it can keep me from doing the very things that I need to do. Worry may feel like we're doing something because our heart rate goes up, but it's because we're running in place, right? Worry can teach us to notice things, and that's important. Worry is when we follow that chain of negative thoughts about all of the bad things that might happen in the future. And sometimes we need to be aware of those possibilities. We need to know if there's lions in the savannah and all. Worry doesn't need to be suppressed. It needs to be controlled, to be listened to thank it for what it brings to our attention, and then set it free, right? Marie Kondo style, so that it can spark us into action, not just running in place. The great Brené Brown, who studies fear and shame and all of the fun things in life, says that she's shortened her response to these worries and anxieties to this. "I've shortened this to two quick questions that I ask myself when I feel fear, panic, or anxiety rising. Do I have enough information to freak out? The answer is normally no, right? Will freaking out help? The answer is always no. I mean, I guess so. I mean, the lion does get pretty confused when the zebra just starts running around in circles, right?
So we can try that if we want to. But what will help us is when we move through that space of worry and seek to take the next step, to take action. Because worry is a coping response to fear. But there's another coping method that also flows from worry, and that's the method of avoidance, right? There's this evolutionary fear response of flight or fight or freeze. And avoidance can be freezing, can be, or taking flight, right? Avoidance is simply choosing to not show up to real life and instead to spend a lot of energy zigzagging around and away from the thing that already feels like it's consuming us. Avoidance isn't benign. It can lead to increased and mounting anxiety for ourselves and for others in our lives. So in her book, The Dance of Fear, Dr. Harriet Lerner writes this about fear and avoidance. It's not fear that stops you from doing the brave and true thing in your daily life. Rather, the problem is avoidance. You, and I think she's saying me, you, Jonathan, want to feel comfortable, so you avoid doing or saying the thing that will evoke fear and other difficult emotions. Avoidance will make you feel less vulnerable in the short run, but it will never make you less afraid. What will make us less afraid is to keep going, even when we don't know the outcome of what lies ahead, to keep putting one foot in front of the other, to rest when we need, to collect ourselves, to find our stability and our grounding, to pause, and then when we're ready, to show up to real life. But here's the thing, and here's why Jesus' message is different. Because we never show up to our life alone. That's how we can keep going, even when there is so much worrisome ahead. And so to show us how, Jesus first invites us to shift our perspective. And he says three things. He says, first, remember, you are more than what you worry about. He says, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or wear, not because they don't matter in life, but because they're just parts of our life. They are not life itself. What really matters? He says, is life not more than these things? Consider the lilies of the field, as Jessica said, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. And I know what you're thinking, it's what I'm thinking when I hear Jesus. That's fine for lilies, right? But we've got, this is real life we're talking about. It's tough out in the field for us. I know it is. But Jesus isn't talking about lilies. He's talking about us and reminding us, you are already sacred and valuable and beautiful apart from anything you add to your life as a year-end bonus. In fact, you are more than those things. And if we chase life through outcomes, the outcome of it really will be that we might just miss life in all of the ways that it comes to us. Sometimes we reduce life to things and circumstance, this job, this relationship, this opportunity. If it just worked out, life would be complete. We would be complete. And Jesus says, don't chase those things. You are already complete. In fact, you are more than all of this. And you will be more on the other side of all of it as well. No matter what happens, you are loved, you are worthy, and you are more. And so the second thing that Jesus offers to us to shift our perspective is this. He says simply, indeed, your God knows that you need all these things. God knows, Jesus says. God knows. What if those two simple words were with us each day, and especially those real life days, right? God knows. Not just what we want, but what we need. God, I need a job. God knows. I need a friend. God knows. I need purpose. God says, I know. God, I need a nap. God says, oh, I know. I feel you in that, right? I love you, and I know that you need these things, God says. They're not all of life. They're a part of it, and God knows you need them. They may not come to us exactly as we imagine, but they come to us in these expansive ways that so often lead us toward what we truly need, no matter the circumstance. We don't have to worry, Jesus says. God knows. And because of that, amidst the hard things, Jesus says, you are not alone. That God is with you, and God is at work for you and before you in this world.
that as we journey through this life, that the deepest forces in the universe are right there with us in every season. God is with us. God knows. And you are loved. And as we learn to root ourselves, to plant our seeds down in that soil, and let that be our grounding, that's how we begin to break free of the paralyzing trap of worry and avoidance. Here's how the community around John described it simply. Perfect love casts out fear, resting in, trusting in the God who is love, who is with us and at work with us, not in the circumstances of life, begins to set us free to act, to keep going amidst the real worries and avoidance and fear of life, because our footing is not on the shifting sands of circumstance, but instead we have the opportunity, intentionally, in this life, to choose love over fear, and not to pass more fear into the world, but to choose to heal ourselves and the people around us with calm, with peace, with love. Fear and reactivity are contagious. When one zebra starts spinning out, the rest of the herd goes too. But even more so, peace and calm and the choice to choose love spread like seeds scattered across the field. And we begin to learn to live and act out of that grounding of love. We begin to find the things that we are truly seeking. After all of this about worry and all of the things of life, Jesus says, and so you can keep going. He says this. He says, but seek first. Let this be your next step. The kingdom of God and all of God's righteousness and justice and all these things will be given to you as well. Rather than seeking life in circumstances, in all circumstances, seek after life. And what Jesus says is that we will find it along the way. Amidst it all, there is this steady path forward, aligning ourselves with the work of God in every season through acts of justice and compassion and seeking peace in our world. And we can do it wherever we are. If in this season your job brings you discontentment, what if the next step would be to simply seek peace and maybe even a little joy with your coworkers and with yourself? What might we discover amidst that circumstance? In times of stress over health or finances or life's challenges, what if we also focused on seeking God and cultivating the relationships that we do have, finding joy and peace regardless of circumstance? Jesus says, when we let that be our next step, we'll begin to find what we seek, what we want, but also what we need. That doesn't mean that everything will turn out right in every moment, but that in every moment we will be right where we are supposed to be, in the center of the life of God, doing work that matters, and we will find that God is right there with us in all of it. This past week, I was talking with Pastor Kathy, and I confessed that I'm a little nervous about what lies ahead over the next couple of weeks. And in this very Pastor Kathy way, she said, yeah. And then she said, but the work for justice that we're called to do will be the same on Wednesday as it was on Tuesday. All right. And God will be right there with us in it. And in her words, I heard Jesus's words. You are more. You are loved no matter what happens. And we are called to say that to every person vulnerable and worried before us, that we're in this together, for each other and with each other. And even more, that God knows. And God carries those things with us as well. We are not alone. And in the empowerment of that love, we will continue the work that has always been the work, to seek first the kingdom of God in all its righteousness and justice, because it is in that seeking that we will find all we and our world have been longing for. God knows. God is with us. And so when we're ready, keep going, keep seeking, keep up the work. I was thinking of when I was first teaching my son Hudson how to swim. When Hudson got into the water when he was a little kid, he promptly flailed and kicked and expended a lot of energy trying to keep himself up and promptly sunk under the water, right? So in order to teach him to swim, my mother-in-law, who's there, who is an infant swim
instructor, what she began was not teaching him to swim, but teaching him to float, to trust the water to hold him up, how to be still, to be calm, even amidst the waves, and to trust that the water is there to hold him up rather than him having to do it all himself. And the thing about it is that it doesn't stop there.
That when he could do that, when he began to ground himself and steady himself in the upholding presence of the water, then he could begin to move. When he could do that, his strokes could move him through the water powerfully and productively. He could navigate through life's currents with strength and resilience. And he could take the next step and the next stroke on his journey. And now he's a little fish everywhere he goes. This is what Jesus invites us to.
To realize amidst it all that we are upheld by love. By a love that sings over us, that's with us, that says, you don't have to worry. Listen to worry, and then thank it, and learn to take the next step, because God knows. God is with you. Rest a while, but when you are ready, move your arms, push against the water, and go. Keep seeking, because you will find. So listen to worry and fear and let them identify for us what to notice. But rest in that love and keep going. God is with us, and the work is still the work. And God is with us in it all. But worry won't get us there. Love will. A love that holds you up, that sings over you, and sets you free to take the next step. That through it all, you are loved. So today, I want us to find a chance to rest in that, to trust a little bit that you are more, that God knows, and that God is with you and all of us in it all. We carry so much with us in this life, but by opening our hands to the God who knows, we can find our grounding like an ocean upholding us. And in time, we can begin to move together. So those post-it notes that you had in your pews with you, Josh and Kung Ray and Terry are going to sing a song for us that sings about this truth, that sings about the God who sings over us, who, when we cannot hold it all, is holding us. When we cannot know it all, that says, I know you, and I love you, and I'm with you. And so while this song is playing, if you would like, you can bring that post-it note and lay it here together to release it, to be upheld by the God who is holding it all, so that we might find our grounding and begin to move and swim and navigate life's currents and keep on the work of seeking after the work of God, the work of righteousness, justice, joy, and peace. You are more. You are loved. God knows, and God is with you, and so are we. Amen.
When I am lost inside my mind, sing me the hope I When my despair has left me blind, sing me the tune I've left behind. Will you sing over me? Will you sing over me? Sing me the goodness I cannot see. Will you sing over me?
When all the grief pours through my hands, when I've forgotten who I am, I can't feel it.
Pray with me. Eternal and loving God, we lift all of these worries up to you. God, it can be so easy for us to feel anxiety and worry. We struggle to trust that we're worthy of good things or that you can do good work in the midst of hard times. We forget all that you have already provided and continue to provide for us and for those we love. God, as we look at our lives and the lives of those we worry about, remind us of all the good that you have done and that you continue to do each and every day. Help us to let go of our desire to control the things that simply can't be controlled. Surround us with your peace and calm in all the places and parts of ourselves that need reassurance and comfort. Help us to focus on the things that matter, not to sweat the small stuff. Help us to see the big picture, to notice the beauty of life all around us all the time. Remind us that you're carrying us, that you are as close to us as our own breath. Remind us that we are exactly where we're supposed to be. We thank you, God, for all you've done and for all you are doing every day. And we pray that you empower us to be a part of your healing work in the world. Help us to choose love over fear. We lift our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, this morning about 5:30, a group of people gathered here to take a big refrigerator full of food down to Austin Street. And so that's something that goes on around here that's not seen that often, just because it happens really early in the morning. But I want to say thank you to those folks who have made food this week, and those folks who took it down to Austin Street and served this morning. I have a couple of invitations for you. We have a new group forming, and this group is for people who are single on Sundays. Maybe you don't have to be a couple with no kids. And then a key thing I was told is that you should be somewhere between 21 to 45. That's a key point. This group is called Spares and Pairs, and it's meeting for the first time on October 30th at 6:30 in room 40. There will be this group as it meets, there'll be sort of a project to work on together, good conversation, and getting to know each other. And so if that sounds appealing to you and you fit all those categories, please come check that out. And then the second invitation is our Reading Buddies program with Dobie Pre-K. The training happens tomorrow at 6:00 at Dobie, which is just down the street from the church. If this is a reading program that allows you to go into the school and read with kids, so it happens during the week, during school time. So if you are available to do that and you would love to go help a pre-K student as they are learning to read, please come check that out. You can find more information about all of this on our website.
Thanks, Aaron. This before us, I don't know if you can see from where you're sitting, but it looks like the lilies of the field, the beautiful colors spread out. And I think about that, about all that we're carrying here, all that we carry on behalf of ourselves, those we love in our world, and the way that this church brings those things to a God who's with us in all of it, and through it, and even in spite of it, does amazing things. That the lilies of the field, as they grow in real life, shine beauty as they go. And so this church does incredible work. You heard about Austin Street that happened this morning. Trunk or Treat that happened last night, meeting our neighbors. The pumpkin patch that supports Navajo neighbors in New Mexico, as well as the missions of our church. And a few weeks ago, we invited you to give to UMCORS in response to hurricane relief in Florida and in Western North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia. And this church brought together $1,500 of support just from that 1 week of reaching out. And before that was North Texas Giving Day, when we raised over $15,000 for Live Like Luke and for our church's work for racial justice and the journey toward racial justice. This church, amidst the things of this life, continues to let God grow those seeds of justice, of righteousness, of compassion and peace and joy. And what is blooming through you is beauty in the midst of this world. And so thank you, Arapaho, for your generosity, for your work, for your faith, your hope, and your love. And so if today you want to support the work of this church in a new way, you can go to arapahoumc.org/donate, and you can make a donation online. There's also a kiosk outside the sanctuary, or as well as you can text to give at that information that is behind me as well. It takes all of us together in this journey to be about the work that God is up to. But that's the amazing thing about doing it in a community and with the God who is love, is we do not do it alone. And so thank you, Arapaho, for your partnership in the good and blooming work of life.
So the song Sing Over Me, Aaron introduced this song to me about 2 months ago, and I don't think there's been a day that's gone by that I haven't listened to it. Just the words, sing over me, sing of the goodness I cannot see. Will you please sing over me? So let's stand as you are able, and let's sing the chorus of this song together.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Josh. Maybe seated for just a moment. I want to invite Roger Yarbrough, who's our chair of our leadership board, here up to the front. And Pastors Kathy and Jenny, y'all can come up to Roger. Thank you.
So, as many of you might know, October is Clergy Appreciation Month. And so, on behalf of the congregation, Thank you. Okay, so I'll start over again. So as many of you, so as many of you might know, October is Clergy Appreciation Month, and so we, on behalf of the congregation and the leadership board, would like to say thank you to Pastors Jonathan, Kathy, and Jenny for everything you do for us in our community. And immediately following service, we would like to have a cake reception to say thank you to you, and. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. Cool. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that appreciation, friends. And thank you, Roger, for the cake. So come join and celebrate with us. Celebrate the work of this great place. We appreciate you so much in the partnership that we get to be a part of, serving this great church and serving along with you as we work for good, for love, for life, and liberation in our world. So let's stand to our feet now and receive this benediction as we go. Vivian, our acolyte, has led us in the way, has carried the light out into the world. And so know this, that as you go, God goes before you. God goes for you and with you. That God knows you are more, you are loved, and that God is with you in the steps ahead. So, as you seek after that, may you bear witness to the love of God in this world, that the stranger you meet finds in you a generous friend and a reflection of the light and the love of God. Go in grace, go in peace, and go in love always. Amen.